There is no movie star more iconic than John Wayne, who died in 1979, but still remains enormously popular. An auction of John Wayne memorabilia began yesterday in Los Angeles. Up for sale? Everything from the actor's driver's license and his American Express cards to annotated scripts and the eye patch worn for his Oscar-winning role in True Grit. This auction has inspired great public interest and has prompted our critic at large, John Powers, to think about why Wayne lingers in the public memory in a way other great stars have not.
Earlier this year, the Harris Poll released its annual list of America's 10 favorite movie stars. There, among today's big names, Depp and Jolie and Clooney, was a lone name from the past, John Wayne. He finished third, 32 years after his death. Such enduring popularity served as a reminder that Wayne wasn't merely a towering movie star. He was one of the defining Americans of the 20th century. When I was growing up, Wayne was a cultural given, a man whose fame and physical stature made him something of his own Mount Rushmore. It never occurred to me that the John Wayne we all knew was a figment, a hard-earned act of self-invention. His given name was Marion Morrison, and he was born in Winterset, Iowa, a few miles from my hometown. Part of the great migration to L.A., Marion spent his adolescence trying to escape his parents' unhappy marriage and to win his mother's love, which incidentally he never did. A chronic overachiever, he won a football scholarship to USC, but poorer than his frat brothers, he had to earn money by serving them their meals. Like so many others, the mortified Marion found himself drawn to the democratic fluidity of a Hollywood that was invented by social outsiders. Although Marion was quickly given a manly new moniker, he always thought of it as the single word John Wayne. He took his own sweet time becoming John Wayne. Over countless B-movies, he taught himself to talk that strange, hesitant talk, and he consciously created a trademark walk, all swinging shoulders and hips. Duke was ambitious, and when other male stars volunteered for World War II, he stayed home. Working in a Hollywood suddenly deprived of male stars, he made movie after movie, often playing the thing he pointedly was not, the indomitable American fighting man. No actor has ever been better at embodying male authority. In Sands of Iwo Jima, for instance, he played Marine Sergeant John M. Stryker. Here, in a quintessential Wayne moment, Stryker reacts to a soldier complaining about how he's canceled somebody's leave.
You talk too much. You think I restricted Flynn for my own amusement?
I think your punishment's unreasonable. To cancel a man's first liberty after so many months for a minor mistake.
I'm going to tell you something, Conway. I'm going to tell all of you. I'm going to make it nice and simple so you'll all understand it. They handed me you guys as a present, a regular Easter basket. And they told me to get you into some kind of shape so you could handle a little piece of this war. And that's what I'm going to do. And that means I'm going to tell you what to do every day and every minute of every day. I'm going to tell you how to button your buttons. I'll even tell you when to blow your noses. And if you do something I don't like, I'm going to jump. And when I land, it'll hurt. I'm going to ride you till you can't stand up. But when you do stand up, they're going to be Marines. Flynn stays here.
Wayne's voice and manner are so easy to parody, it can take a while to grasp that he was a marvelous, canny screen actor. At his most ambitious, as in Red River, The Searchers, and Rio Bravo, he could act brilliantly. Yet even in routine pictures, he dominated the screen as few stars ever have, often by appearing to do nothing. A master of silence, he knew the camera, was the best reactor this side of Cary Grant, and didn't fear emotion. Wayne let you feel his deep affection for his screen soulmate Maureen O'Hara, who brought out his tenderness and middle-aged rue. Americans care less about authenticity than a good show, and though Wayne's life wasn't heroic, he personally drank and smoked enough for the whole cast of Mad Men, his screen roles made him something grander than a mere hero. He became this country's idea of the hero. From the mid-40s through the 50s, Wayne embodied the American century in all its booming confidence. If this sometimes meant embodying the darkness of our national past, Ethan Edwards in The Searchers is a genocidal monomaniac, that was never counted against his fundamental goodness. America's Duke was tough, honorable, ready to laugh and share a drink, and always ready to do what men had to do in order to see justice done. He didn't ask you to like him. He asked you to live up to him. Over the years, Wayne's monolithic image turned him into a cultural lightning rod. Even as he inspired decades of conservative iconography, you can find his echoes in Ronald Reagan, George W. Bush, and Rick Perry. His Republican politics and patriarchal style made him a target during the 1960s and 70s. Mocking Wayne was part of a whole generation's rejection of authority. But time moves on, and watching his work today, I don't care who he voted for. I'm moved by his film's portrait of an America whose confidence had yet to be shaken, and by Wayne's uncynical ability to embody virtues that are well worth preserving. The contempt for pettiness and love of hard work, the courage to be lonely in pursuing your goals, the respect for individuals in all their cussedness, and above all, the willingness to fight and die for a cause bigger than yourself. All of that is John Wayne, and it's neither male nor female, conservative nor liberal. What it is, and always was, is American.
John Powers writes for Vogue and Vogue.com.